Warning, strong language alert.
Attention please, this is the final call.
Hey, it's time once again to set fire to your travel documents. Maybe not your boarding passes, necessarily, but definitely your passports. Thanks very much for the kind messages on social media about our return. And if you fancy telling us some reasons to stay the hell at home, you can always hit me up on Twitter at Nazeem_Hussain, or Instagram, Nazeem Hussain, or Snapchat. Listen, just get in touch with me, all right? Hey, this week's got a bit of an American flavor. We're going to be talking to possibly the biggest guest we've had on so far, Bill Nye, the Science Guy. That's from his new Netflix show, Bill Nye Saves the World. But first up, we're going to be talking to a very funny Australian comedian called Nick Cody, one of my good mates. And here he is, making his debut on Conan O'Brien.
So nice to be here in your city. I love Los Angeles a lot. I love this city. I'm a big cities person, to be honest with you. Love cities. Hate small towns. They're all shit. Did you know? Did you know that every small town is shit? It's okay, I can prove it to you with one very simple fact. If small towns were good, they would have gotten bigger.
Nick Cody, what's going on, bro?
Hi, mate. How are you?
Oh, I'm freaking good.
Yeah, comedy festival time.
Oh, this is our time.
Yeah.
Our time to shine.
It's the best time of the year. I love it.
Yeah, it's
all of our mates from around the world in one spot.
Exactly. You know? We work every night for 1 hour.
Yeah.
Conan, how is that?
Oh, the best.
Like, it's freaking hit. Like, I was excited. Like, we were all so excited when we found... You posted the photo, just you on, like, the Conan thing
on the door,
dressing room door. I lost my mind. I couldn't like that fast enough. And then I wanted to like it again. Was it stressful when you walked out and Conan was watching you do stand-up?
No, the YouTube clip starts at me saying the first line. But the full episode of Conan, you get him, ladies and gentlemen, making his US television debut... All the way from Australia. Give it up for the very funny Nick Cody. Curtains open. I walk out. There's applause. I've got some friends in the crowd. I brought my manager, a mate of mine, Maxie, mate Simon, and my favourite bartender in LA.
You just thought someone's going to make the drinks for...
No. Well, I figured, like, I've been going to the States for the last few years, and there's this dive bar in Hollywood that I go and watch sports at. Right, and the bartender there is a great dude. I've known him for years. Like, when I brought my dad over to the States before he came with me to Montreal, we go and hang out in that bar. So every year I've been there, the gigs are getting better each time. So when I turned up a few days before Conan, I'm like, dude, on Tuesday, Conan. He's like, get out of here.
That is such a Hollywood thing to do. Come along, man. Mate, I will take you to Conan.
A couple of mates, manager and a bartender.
So you walked out and you looked at their faces?
Yeah, so I gave them a thumbs up and a wave. I was waving to the crowd. Yeah. And then I gave a thumbs up to Conan and said, thanks, mate. And off screen, he stood up and gave me like a little bow.
Like, hey, good luck. Like, it looks like a Japanese style.
Is that a Japanese style bow? I was looking at it more like martial arts style, like good work.
Good luck. I'm about to fight you.
You better not sneak up on me, Conan. You put me in a real bad position on camera. Gonna have to fight a tall ranger.
But once you started, you looked super calm, very confident.
Yeah, I've definitely felt nervous at the start, but then after the first joke hit, then I was fine.
That's it.
Yeah, and it was great.
Man, I'm so proud of you. How are you at traveling, mate?
Traveling, I'm a travel snob.
Really?
Yeah, because a few years ago, I remember I would go to Perth to do $50 pub gigs. I'd have to get the Tiger Airways return flight deal, which is pay full fare one way, come back for a dollar.
Hey!
Right? And you're leaving at like 4 a.m. I couldn't afford a cab to the airport, so I'd have to walk with my luggage.
Skybus?
North Melbourne, yeah. Uh-huh. From North Melbourne, where I was living, I'd have to walk my luggage at 4 a.m. from North Melbourne down to Southern Cross Station, then catch the Skybus to the airport.
You walked from North... That's a long...
Because I couldn't afford a cab to the airport to get a Skybus.
25-minute walk.
Yeah.
You couldn't even afford the taxi to the Southern Cross.
To the Southern
Cross.
You
need a story like that, because then you can say, started from the bottom, now I'm on Conan, yeah.
Yeah, you know what I mean? And now I'm Virgin Velocity, Platinum, killing it, right? Upgrading the business, having a great time.
Virgin.
Hey, it's still business.
Is it still technically a budget airline?
No.
So you live it up now.
But when I can, if I have the points.
Now, you did a joke recently about how you don't do hostels anymore.
No.
Did you? So there was a time when you did.
I had to do hostel a lot. Yeah.
Did you like it?
Because I couldn't afford. No. No.
What's wrong with
if you're traveling away, especially if for work, yeah. That's when it sucks. When I traveled when I was younger, I'd stay in hostels because that's all you can do. But then there was a point I'd be doing gigs in Sydney or Brisbane or whatever, and I couldn't afford a hotel. So I'd have to stay in a hostel. But I remember I stayed in a private room in the hostel, but it's still not your own bathroom.
I stayed in
you
a.
You stayed in the jungle.
I stayed
you
in
don't,
a, I stayed
you
in
don't
jungle.
Give a shit.
That is a piece of. That is the worst hostel ever.
Man, you flew business class to the jungle. That's the worst.
Okay, I flew business class to stay in the jungle, but the jungle was better than a place I stayed in Launceston. First time I've ever been on tour with my mum.
Yeah.
Went to Launceston.
How many times have you been on tour with your mum?
Never.
Never.
It was the first time. It happened like a week before I went to the jungle. And I thought I'd take her to Launceston. Met her at the airport. When I met her, she was dressed in a bright pink wedding sari.
Yeah.
And I was like, why are you wearing a bright pink wedding sari? She said, because we're on tour. I said, you were going to Launceston. Anyway.
That's like me wearing a tux to go to...
Went to the hotel. Now, the only reason I went to the hotel, the only reason I took my mum on tour to Launceston is because I thought we were staying at a fancy place. Because it was called the Royal Colonial Imperial, like it was a pub, right? It was a disgusting freaking Tasmanian pub.
Yeah.
The rooms were small. The floors were sticky. Like you didn't even need a blue light. Like everything was everywhere. You could just see it, right?
Yeah.
And toilet that we had to share with the other rooms. Went to sleep after the gig. About 5 a.m., my mum wakes me up.
Why didn't you look into this beforehand?
I don't know.
This is the only thing I researched.
Because
is travel stuff.
I told the guy I'm taking my mum. He goes, oh, of course, that would be lovely. We'll, you know, we'll book a room for her as well. I just thought that they understood that she wouldn't want to stay at a disgusting freaking pub. You just can't book a Muslim mum into a pub.
That's rude.
All right?
Booking a Muslim mum into a pub.
Yeah.
That might be like an interesting... Because she'd never be in a pub. You know what I mean?
It's like,
it's like us going to that hotel underwater in Atlantis or whatever. You know what I mean? It's like, we don't live there.
We don't do that. But you know what? We've been to pubs heaps because my mum's also ethnic and we like discounted food. So we've been to pubs lots growing up for dinners because they've got mad fish and chips, you know,
fish and chip baskets.
10 bucks, all you can eat stuff. So we used to hang out in pubs a lot eating food. Anyway, wake up at 5 a.m. at the pub and my mum wakes me up. She said, it's time to go. I said, no, it's not. Flight's at 10. She said, no, Nazim, it's time to go right now. I said, why? She goes, I don't want to alarm you, but in the toilet, there's a man and he is dead. And I was like, what? She goes, keep your voice down. Don't panic, but there's a man in the toilet.
No, it's not going to wake him up,
dead.
Mate.
He's dead. I was like, what the hell? I go, how did he die? What are you talking about? She goes, well, he went in 3 hours ago and he hasn't come out, so he's dead. I was like, what? Let's call the police. And she said, no, if you call the police, you said this place is a bit racist. They will come and they'll think that I killed him. So,
oh, yeah, of course.
Let's go to the airport.
Yes, it's the elderly woman in the pink wedding sari.
Exactly.
She did it. What sort of game of Cluedo is this? It's
anyway, like, we're arguing about it for like 10 minutes, and then the guy just walks out of the toilet, and my mum looks at him in the face and says, ah, you're not dead. Okay, let's get back to sleep. Very weird. Now, what's your case against hostels?
I just don't like them.
Have you
it's
had
rubbery.
Any bad experiences in them?
Life is meant to go up.
Sometimes people fall down again.
Of course, people, but then you pick yourself back up, you keep going up. It's not like I've just gone up. I'm not like hotels.
But, as the older you get, the more you want to meet
other
people.
And we travel so much. I'm on the road 9 months a year. Mm. I've got nothing else, by the way. I don't have a house. I don't have kids. I've got nothing else. I don't have a car.
There was a guy in the jungle called Jay Lagaya who played his ukulele all the time.
Oh, why?
I kind of enjoyed it, but annoyed the crap out of people because I got woken up at 4 a.m. by this guy, right?
Yeah.
Playing ukulele. Nice guy, but plays his ukulele whenever he wants. He took a flight back to Australia, business class.
Yeah.
Of the someone on the show, I can't say who because he told me not to say who, knows an air hostess who worked on that flight. Apparently, she
said... He did not play the ukulele.
He brought out his ukulele in business class while people were asleep and played the ukulele. Yeah,
I'd kill him with my bare hands. I'd kill him with the ukulele.
You use all your points to get upgraded to business and some guy there.
So my wife says I get very entitled.
Is it because you've got a platinum card?
Yeah, I am. Anywhere else in life, I don't care.
Yeah, because you're on the bike lane.
I'll eat a chicken parma for the rest of my life for dinner. I don't care. I'm not a fancy man. At the airport, get out of the way if you don't know what's going
all
on.
All of a sudden you're in a rush.
Oh, I'm sickened by people that just walk through, they've got coins in their pockets or wearing a metal hat. Oh, you can't bring that through, can't you? You know what I mean? Just idiots. Okay, idiots at the airport.
As a frequent flyer baller, what level of guilt do you feel when you walk on the premium, you know where you get to walk through ahead of everybody and you look at everybody lining up? Did you feel guilt?
Nah. I fly 90 times a year. My wife, if my wife's with me, I'll put on a big show to annoy her. So, normally I'd just walk through and go, thanks. But if my wife's with me, right, I'll say, wait until their line's super long, right? And then just walk past, hands up in the air. Woo! Woo! We're on the plane first. Yeah! Cop it, right? You just see people like, what a dog, hating me. And I'm just being an idiot.
Premium,
like,
economy.
Whoop, pretending to throw cash around.
Platinum.
And then, of course, straight through to economy.
Nick Cody, thanks so much for coming on, man. Now, you're touring Australia. The show is called...
On Fire.
And you are on fire. Thanks heaps for coming in.
Thanks for having me, mate.
Catch you, Brad. Our next guest is Bill Nye, and he's a science guy. He's well-travelled, he knows a lot about science, knows a lot about food, but in one particular place that he went, the food didn't react very well with him. So I decided to hit the streets to see if anybody else out there has had similar food disasters when travelling abroad. How are you with food overseas? Ever had any trouble?
Only in Bali, a bit of Bali belly.
What happened there?
I just didn't feel very well at all, like...
Oh, really? Oh, you're gesturing with your face like...
Yes, like a Nazim
God, a Nazim gag. Oh, so from the mouth at least.
Yes.
Well, I was lactose intolerant, and as soon as you eat something spicy, they give you milk, and I've gone, drunk the milk, and was just so sick.
What?
So yeah.
What do you take if you're lactose intolerant and you've had milk, then? What's the antidote?
You take tablets usually, but I didn't have any on me at the time, so I was just like,
Yeah, the spicy mouth, and your body was reacting to the lactose.
Yeah, so...
Oh, great trip.
Yeah, it's great. So much fun.
Have you guys ever had food trouble overseas?
Only like minor cases.
Like such as?
We just came from Bali and the spicy stuff really, yeah.
So you can tell while you're eating it that it's not going to go well?
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, or you instantly regret it afterwards. But it just, you know...
It tastes so good.
Yeah, you can't stub in the middle.
Have you ever had trouble with food overseas?
Probably, surprisingly, in America.
Oh, really? What happened?
Just getting used to all the greasiness and everything gave me upset stomach. I got used to having potato chips with every meal.
Bill Nye is an American TV legend known to generations as the science guy. And I was so freaking lucky. I got a call one day and they're like, hey, we want you to be on this new Netflix show with Bill Nye. And we're filming next week. And within a week, I was a correspondent on his new Netflix show called Bill Nye Saves the World. A super whirlwind for me, and I'm sure it meant nothing to him, but it means a lot to me. It comes out April 21st. Here he is. And look, just a word of warning. Bill gets scandalous. You're on Burn Your Passport, Nazim Hussain. My next guest is Bill Nye, the science guy, and I am very blessed to be on his show, but now he's on mine. Welcome to the show, Bill.
It's so good to be here. Yes, I'm not saving the world alone.
No.
I've got you, man.
Yeah, man.
I got Nazim helping me out. I'd be helpless without... No, it's great.
Times are really tough if you're employing a guy who graduated from science 10 years ago and hasn't used it since.
That's okay. You have an appreciation for it.
That's
you are literate. You realize that people had this great idea, and that's why we have this technology that enables us to discuss things across an entire planet, halfway around the world, literally.
How nuts is this?
And this all comes from our understanding of nature. It comes from science.
Yeah, man. And you've been a big advocate for science since forever. But before forever, when you weren't doing this sciencey stuff, you were actually a stand-up comedian. Is that right?
Well, I gave it a shot, but I kept my day job, I think is the expression. My real job was mechanical engineering. I worked on a drawing board at Boeing at first, and then later at a company called Sunstrand, which is now part of Honeywell.
Well, since you started getting, you know, a name for yourself, you did a lot of travel. You, where did you film Bill Nye the Science Guy?
Oh, in Seattle, the city of Seattle in the United States, in the state of Washington. Doing stand-up, you know, that was one of the discouraging things that I guess is part of your shtick.
Yeah.
is the hotel rooms in the middle of no place.
Well, that's it. Like, American stand-up, like, you guys, you're on the road a lot more than we are here in Australia. You know, we just hit the major cities. You take a plane or you drive, and then you're in a big city. But over there, you do all the little towns along the way everywhere, right?
Yeah, I mean, you do Bellingham, Washington, Crescent City, California. Yeah, some of those. Spokane, Washington. I mean, I middled. Do we still use this expression?
So
MC middle headliner. I middled. Uh-huh. That's as far as I got.
So middling, that's a pretty respectable spot. That's you're not starting out. You're not headlining. You're a respectable comic.
Sure I was. And then had a guy that, this is a U.S. thing, a guy would give you a check for half of the week and then pay you in cash, U.S. dollars, for the other half of the week.
Wow.
The idea being that he would declare on his taxes that he had paid us much less than. Now, this is 30 years ago. I think it's
off
a statute of limitations has come and gone. But it's the kind of thing when you're a mechanical engineer working for a real company, getting real sort of grown up things like mortgages, then your world is different from paying half your money in cash and pretending it never happened.
I've got to ask you, when you're flying, like, I know a lot of people, when they have anxiety in the sky, the advice that's given to them is, well, look, you don't know as much as a pilot knows, so you actually have no right to panic. You don't know what you don't know. But when you're in the sky, you probably do have the scientific knowledge to know what's going on in the sky, what the pilot's doing, what he's doing wrong. So do you ever get anxious in the sky? Like, has there ever been a moment when you've been flying when you've thought, I think the pilot's gotten it wrong?
Absolutely not. Guys, just compare how dangerous it is to drive a car with how dangerous it is to fly. It's sort of about a million times safer to fly than drive.
Is it really?
Some people say 500,000 or what have you, but it depends how you reckon it. But where do we fly? Do we fly from Sydney to Adelaide? Do we do that?
Yeah, we fly Sydney, Adelaide, Sydney, Melbourne. We fly.
How long are these flights? Are they
like an hour.
Four and a half?
An hour. You're coming to Adelaide, right?
Yeah. Because, you know, the Astronautical Congress is coming. You don't want to miss that.
Hey, oh. So we can catch you in Adelaide.
Oh, man, the Astronautical Congress is just a party.
That is the event of the year.
And I'm excited, and I look forward to taking some time. Yes, I got to get to the top of the bridge in Sydney. I got to do that. I got to see the Opera House. I got to see Great Barrier. I got things I got to do. So I got to meet Dr. Carl. I hope
Dr. Carl. Because this is the first time you're coming to Australia.
Yeah, I've been to New Zealand. I don't know if you heard it's an island, islands.
Two islands just to the side of us. Our little
weird little brother,
yeah.
Yeah,
New Zealand's our Canada.
Yeah. Do they?
They're a little nicer, you know.
Yeah. So for those of you who don't know this thing in Canada, they're sorry for almost everything. You open the door, I'm so sorry. I would like a cup of coffee. I'm sorry. We have a good time with that. And the Astronautical Congress was in Canada, in Toronto, 2 years ago. And the joke was, in space, no one can hear you apologize. Just hilarious. So, anyway, I'm looking forward to trips where you fly an hour, okay? Try this thought experiment.
Okay.
You fly from Adelaide to Sydney and back 100 times. Mm. I'll drive from Sydney to Adelaide and back 100 times. Yep. Who's going to get in a wreck? The guy in the car, right?
Where have you traveled around the world? Like, has there been anywhere that you've traveled that you're like, man, that place has defined me, or I really want to go back there? Any special places?
I'm not in any big hurry to go back to Hyderabad,
really?
India.
Okay.
So I was there, you know, in the planetary side. In fact, it was the Astronautical Congress was in Hyderabad, India. And Hyderabad, if you're not familiar, is in the tropics.
Yeah.
Indians consider themselves Asians, quite reasonably. Mm-hmm. It's in the tropics. They have an expression to Hyderabad it up, and they're talking about their food.
All right.
Where it's so spicy, it's so chemically spicy, you just cannot hang it. And I was there with this gal on the planetary society board, Bijan. She's from Goa, which is farther north in India.
That's her ancestry. Kind of like a tourist destination as well.
Well, it's very pretty, yeah. But in Hyderabad, she couldn't handle the food. She's a good Indian woman.
Wow.
She couldn't hang in. It's so spicy.
And so you
think, well, I just won't eat it. Well, there's just not much, like, there you are. And there are several people, wall to shoulder, shoulder wall, and no myth, there are cows walking around, and they're like, in the States, we have people that feed the pigeons.
Uh-huh.
So there's cows when people feed, they're pets, you know, they're like, and that leads to certain sanitation issues that I find especially unappealing. But this makes the world go around. The other thing I didn't that didn't grab me was they poach electricity, at least when I was there. They get people that are willing to climb out on the power lines and put sort of, in the States we'd call them jumper cables.
Yeah.
Clamps onto the power lines, and then every week there was somebody, you know.
It's just a community of shared electricity.
Yeah, which is, it's hard to pay for when you do. It's just not really my thing.
No, that's,
then I'm not joking, you guys. I'm not even kidding you. I'm in the States. I'm like an E-level celebrity, maybe D-level celebrity.
You are totally not.
I really was sitting with the President of the United States, President Barack Obama. I was sitting with him. I really was. He was musing about where he wanted to go once he got out of office. He wanted to go back to Alaska. He wanted to take his girls, his kids back to Alaska. He thought it was beautiful. Even the Everglades, which is this unique ecosystem in the U.S. And he said, you know, we got to talk. And I said, a reporter asked me if I could go anywhere in the cosmos, where would I want to go? And I said, Hawaii. Hawaii would be pretty good.
You said that.
I said that, yeah. Right. And the president at that time, the president was, he's a native of Hawaii.
Yeah.
He's born in Hawaii. Getting from the U.S. to the state of Hawaii is very convenient. There's nothing, you don't need to go through customs or anything. It's very nice. So I said Hawaii, but I'm sure Tahiti doesn't suck. And my understanding is the Great Barrier Reef pretty much doesn't suck. And I have very few things on my bucket list, Nazim. I've had an extraordinary life. Man, there ain't much I need to do, but...
So it's the whole cosmos. Number one on Bill Nye's Lonely Cosmos, Hawaii.
Yeah, well, so people say, hey, Bill Nye, science guy, head of the Planetary Society, what's your favorite planet? Earth!
Yeah, well...
Crying out loud!
As a human,
what about Saturn? Saturn's very pretty. Beautiful. What about Mars? Cool. In fact, not just cool, freaking cold. As a first cut, Nazim, this is me, you guys. I know there are people who want to colonize Mars, you know, knock yourself.
Yeah.
But as a first cut, I want to go a place where I can breathe.
Right, it's ready to go. You know, Earth.
Yeah,
ready.
Yeah. The whole living your whole life under a dome or in a spacesuit sounds cool
for
a few weeks.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
For a few weeks. Now, I was in Greenland this summer where we're drilling into the ice to study climate change. It's 10 below Celsius all the time. Then when it gets at the, what they call night, which is the sun never goes down in the summertime, it's 25 below. By the way, you don't want your tent to get above freezing because then stuff starts to melt. You want to leave the snow and ice in your tent. You crawl in your sleeping bag and that's...
And real people live there.
Well, for a few months. Then you have to leave in the winter. It gets dark and it really gets cold. And it's just very hard to work. It's just inefficient. So, you can't move around.
So if you had a tour bus and you were taking a few guests on a tour of the cosmos, where would you show them around? Not to live, just what would be the sights that you'd show them?
Wow. Well, Saturn is very pretty, objectively pretty.
So you drive by Saturn.
Giselle 273b. There's an ultra cool dwarf planet. And ultra cool is an astronomical term. It's still freaking hot. But the planets, seven planets, orbit closer to this dwarf star than Mercury is to our sun. And it looks like three of them may be of a suitable temperature to have liquid water.
No way.
That might be a place to swing by. It's only 40 light years.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah. Oh, yeah. 40 light years.
That's nothing. I mean, this bus is faster than that.
That's only, I think, shooting from the hip, I'd say that's 400,000 years at rocket speed to get there.
Oh, my God.
The distances in the cosmos are really, they're astronomical is what they are.
Bloody hell. What's
but there's only, I don't have much left on my bucket list. I was going to throw this in while I'm in Australia. I can sort of surf.
Are you going to hit the waves when you're down here?
That's what I'm saying. I want to go where the water's warm. One time I was sitting on my surfboard waiting for a wave, and there was a whale.
What?
What's called a California gray whale, and these things are 20 meters long. And it was right there.
Just like,
whoa,
just hanging about.
Yeah, because the surf was, there was no waves. We were all out there thinking it would be cool. It was very calm, and this whale, I guess, just wandered in.
What?
And the guy next to me said, what was that? I said, it's a whale. He says, how big was it? Well, it's a whale.
Is it a small whale?
Small whale, yeah. I'd never seen that before. I've been surfing a few times.
What do you do when you see a whale? You just...
Hi, mate.
G'day, mate. I mean, they don't eat.
Carry
anything,
on.
Do they?
Well, I spoke with him or her, but she was not responsive.
Uh-huh.
A lot of times dogs will interact with you more. right. than a whale.
What? In the water when they're surfing?
I kid because I love.
You can't teach dog human talk, can we? I mean, that's...
Well, they understand their names. That much I got.
So they if they understand that, then surely maybe they can understand other words and sentences and things.
Let's change the subject back to you.
Yeah.
If the Saves the World show gets renewed,
yeah.
which we're very hopeful, one of the shows we want to do is about the brain.
Ooh.
So here's a question. Do dogs reason at some level? You know, I go to the zoo, and there are gorillas or orangutans or bonobos or somebody, and they're in there, and they're looking at you, right? And they're going, man, what is the deal? You are skinny. I could break you in half, man, just for fun. And I'm a vegetarian.
Exactly. And we can't do anything. We can't swing from trees.
Yeah, what is the deal? How did you people end up out there and I am in here?
They must look at us and think we're like their weak, sick cousin. Or
yes. Like... My question on the brain show is what is the nature of consciousness? Like, how do you know that you know? How do you know that you're a person or you're a self?
Is it just being aware of yourself?
Yeah, and then is a gorilla, a bonobo, do they have awareness of themselves? And then do dogs have awareness? Then hamsters. Then you can see birds that can do extraordinary things. We have this famous internet video here where this crow is ice fishing using a guy's fishing line. Like he pulls up a fish and he flies away with it. Where do we fall? Well, and then, Nazim, what's next?
Well, isn't this
what's
like,
the post-human world?
You've really messed with my brain now. Well, because you know, vegans, apparently the basis of veganism is that animals are sentient beings and that they are aware to some degree of themselves. And they're emotionally intelligent, etc. So you might need to get some vegans on your show.
Well, let's get them on. And let me ask the vegan this.
Uh-huh.
If you're a fish of any reasonable size.
A shout out to all the fish tuning in.
So if you're a fish of any reasonable size, the only thing you eat, really, is other fish.
Yeah.
If you're a pescatarian, you're eating an animal that does eat other animals.
But vegans don't eat that. They don't even have milk.
I know.
I think they don't even have honey because it's torture for bees.
Here in the States, our honeybee is actually the European honeybee. It's actually an invasive species imported from Europe. But they came here 350, 400 years ago. And I've spoken with them. I've spoken with them. And... they have, what have they all done? Every single, they burn their passports.
Exactly.
Every one of them.
Hey, Bill, so Bill Nye Saves the World. It's on Netflix, April 21, which is my birthday. So it's like the best birthday.
Coincidence?
Well.
Perhaps.
I knew you
said
that.
So it's the eve of Earth Day, everybody. Get a march for science down there. I say down there in a land down under. And we'll be, what we want to do is have science inform our policies, our lawmaking.
Yeah.
Yes.
Get amongst it. And so, I mean, you're so excited. How long has it been since you last did your own show?
Everybody, you may not have been aware, but I did The Eyes of Nye, The 100 Greatest Discoveries, The 100 Greatest Inventions. These were on the Discovery Channel and the Science Channel, which were part of the same organization.
True.
Never had this kind of cash thrown at the problem.
Oh.
We had so much money, everybody. Just imagine this. We could pay Nazim.
To fly.
That's the kind of cash we could afford. Woo! Nazim Hussein, people. Just think the kind of cash you'd need for that.
I was in the baggage section of the plane. It was awesome.
You have a long history there. And my understanding is the food's better.
It is. It's totally better. It's cool.
You're there with the pets in their pet boxes.
Well, Bill, cannot wait to watch the show that we're both on, but it's a great honor for to
And Nazim, you did a great job on the show, man. I really appreciate it.
You're making me blush, which is
all right, turn it up loud on 21 April. Let's change the world.
Thank you, Bill. That's it. We're done. Remember to rate and review us in iTunes. And if you want to say hi and pass on funny travel stories, you can do so on the internet, Twitter, Nazim _Hussein, Instagram, Nazim Hussein, Snapchat, Nazim, I'm not sure if there's an underscore, listen, carrier pigeon, or if you just see me on the street, come up and just yell stories at my face, maybe write a note, give it to me, drop it off at a local mosque, say this is for Nazim Hussein, they'll find me, or you can drop it off at ASIO, there's a pigeonhole there for me, if you see Nazim, say something.
Passengers are reminded to burn your passport.